Hey guys, welcome back to Scooby Secrets. Today we are talking about the spoiler section for New Moon Rising. All right, so the biggest takeaway from this episode for me was how much they are setting up the next episode, the Yoko Factor, and how they have been setting it up for the past couple of episodes. I appreciate that they really delve into Willow and Tara and Oz's relationship or relationships, but I think something that I've been noticing is how, I think it was with Superstar and Where the Wild Things Are, the writers are struggling to come up with plot points that are incorporating the other Scoobies while also kind of metaphorically talking about Buffy and Riley. And the biggest thing that they're doing is trying to point towards Angel coming back in the Yoko Factor. And I feel like this episode, with all the conversations between Buffy and Riley, they kind of use the situation of Oz being a werewolf and Riley not being okay with that as a way to kind of move the conversation towards what's going to happen in the next episode. And I feel like this was the best way they could have done that. But I'm also frustrated with how they've been doing it with Superstar and with what's it called, Where the Wild Things Are, because I feel like there's not a lot of substance and depth. And I know we've talked about this with Buffy and Riley's relationship. And so it feels like the writers are kind of rehashing the same metaphors over and over again. And we end up with crappy filler episodes like Where the Wild Things Are or Superstar, which is less crappy, but at the same time, you're kind of like, where are we going with this? So I don't know. How do you guys feel about the setup for the Yoko Factor so far?
I don't know. I feel like I'm just mad that, like, in order to, like, rush setting things up, they had to, like, obliterate a character for it. Like,
Yeah.
That's just, like, frustrating to me. I also just feel like I just don't like this episode. This episode also kind of sucks because when you think about, like, Willow and Tara and their whole relationship and how it kind of ends and then they, like, break up and stuff before that, it always just feels like there's, like, an aspect of, like, some people like to blame, or it can make it look like Tara is to blame for encouraging Willow to kind of, like, lead down that path of magic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That took me forever to get there.
It's okay.
But so I feel like I just hate the way that their relationship starts, and I hate the way that her relationship with Oz ends, because I feel like if there had been it, like, their relationship starts on an unhealthy point, and I think it just kind of has an underlying layer for the entirety of the relationship that, like Tara just kind of goes along with what Willow is doing. And I wish that when they got together, it was much more of a, they came together as human beings rather than, like, she had to make a fast decision for Tara because Oz was taken off the table.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just wish that it was Willow and Tara separate from Oz. I feel like adding Oz in cheapens the beginning of their relationship.
Yeah.
And I also don't like it because I feel like it almost points this picture of Willow and Oz can't be together because of this unattainable, crazy magic.
Which feels like another relationship.
Yeah. You know? Like, how does it not also correlate to Tara and Willow's, where it's like they shouldn't or can't be together because of Willow's, like, unbreakable bond with magic. Like, it's very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I agree with you, Leah, because I think the concept could have been really clever, but it's frustrating. And I have a love-hate relationship with how the writers write for Buffy, because I love the episodes where every other character and stuff, like, there's a metaphorical pointing back to Buffy. Like, it always points to back to Buffy, and I really like that. But then sometimes they do it poorly, where they're fabricating a drama or a dramatic situation between two other characters just so they can progress Buffy's storyline to another point in another episode or whatever, which I feel so, like, sacrilegious to say, because I normally really, really like that. But right now it felt like they're kind of creating drama just for the sake of drama and not because it's necessary. I do think it is important for Angel and Riley to meet. And I do think it was important for Oz to come back. But in a lot of ways, it felt like they brought Oz back in order to progress Buffy and Riley's storyline forward. And also to kind of like shoehorn like closing out Oz's thing. But they didn't have to go as far as they did in the episode. And I know we talked about in the spoiler-free episode, they could have just had Willow flat out choose Tara over Oz instead of creating this whole fabrication of, oh, Oz loses control. And that kind of goes against everything that this character is. And I think that's what you're trying to say, Leah. But this season, and I'm not saying anything new, we've said it over and over again, this season is frustrating because there have been so many filler episodes, like genuinely filler episodes, that were just not great. Meanwhile, we barely know anything about Riley. We've barely seen Buffy and Riley talk things out and communicate and figure things out. We don't know anything about Adam. We don't care about Adam. And yet we keep getting weird episodes that they could have done so much with these side characters and could have pushed storylines harder and farther. And instead, it feels like we're just getting weird filler stuff with pointless drama. And I want to be like, Buffy, you're better than this. We've seen the writers write so much better than this. So I think it's kind of, it's just a hard season. And I know, there will be other moments like that later on in the show too, but this is the first time that's happened in us recording the podcast, because up until now, all the storylines have been stellar. And so it's just, I think it makes it even harder for us to watch.
It also, this episode showed me that for some reason, these shows hate werewolves. Like, yeah. Every depiction of a werewolf in these shows sucks. Like, the only good one is Oz, and they freaking character assassinate him due to him being a werewolf. And then you have Veruca, and then you have the freaking werewolf chick that Angel Nina slips with in season 5, and she's, like, such a throwaway character. Like, I'm like, dang, what did werewolves ever do to, like, deserve such, like, hate?
Oh, Nina.
The biggest evidence for that theory is just the outfits they wear as werewolves. It actually makes me so uncomfortable. I feel like season 2, or even some parts, the first part of season 3, where they're showing Oz as a werewolf, are not bad. But season 4, where they make their face like human-like, no words. It's just awful. I feel like that's a good point, Leah, that you said a while back about like, starting off Tara's and Will's relationship is, like, based on magic. But I feel like, I don't know. Like, I don't mind it, because I feel like, I'm not saying that you do mind it, but I feel like it's that whole argument of, like, are people responsible for other people's addictions if they kind of introduce them to some stuff, you know, which they are not. And clearly we see that juxtaposition with, like, Tara not ever having an issue with being addicted to magic stuff. But then we also see people like Giles, who did have very dark stuff with magic. And his is only a short period of his time from what we know, and he only used it for dark stuff. So I think the way that magic is used is very interesting in the show, because
it's very inconsistent, like, too.
But I feel like that's kind of, it makes sense for magic, because, like, people can use it for different things. We see Tara, which uses it just for, like, recreational stuff. Then we see Willow kind of go through all the phases of magic. Then we see people like Amy. Yes. Amy, like, uses it as, like, kind of a coping mechanism, which is also an interesting idea for like, the metaphor of, like, drugs. And then she gets addicted. And then we have Giles, who only used it for dark stuff. Anya uses it for, like, revenge or even to get back home. So there's lots of different ways that it could be used. And I feel like I like the fact that it's, like, based on the person and based on an intent, and how deep they're going into it.
I mean, I agree with that. I think magic, and this is actually a really good point that you're bringing up, Tabs, that I hadn't thought about, but magic is inconsistent on the show, meaning they don't really define it very well. But also season four has been about magic versus science, and magic's supposed to be more like feminine energy. Science is supposed to be more masculine. Not that I think that I had a military friend of my husband's approach him at work and ask, does Sarah actually think that science is inherently masculine? And I was like, no, it's the metaphor of the show for this season. I don't actually think that science is masculine. I'm all for women in STEM. But I think that in season four, like, we're seeing a lot of the metaphor of magic through Willow and Tara's relationship, and very much like female empowerment. Like, it's a huge part of their lesbian relationship. They're lesbian witches. And then you get to season six, and all of a sudden they kind of change the way magic is viewed, and it becomes magic is addictive, and magic, you have to be very careful. Like, too much magic is not good, and like all this stuff. And so I do think the show is inconsistent with that. And it's kind of whatever the writers want it to be, if that makes sense. And so I do wish that they had been a little bit better in fleshing out what exactly they mean by it. But I think I kind of understand what you're trying to say, Tabs. And I think, and again, I'm not saying anything new, but it's just becoming glaringly obvious that the writers just are not sure what they're trying to do with Riley. I know we talked about this in the spoiler-free section where we talked about how Riley seems to really backpedal in this episode. We're like, wait, we kind of already hashed this out with him in the Iron Team and Goodbye Iowa. And I think that there are so many, again, wasted episodes of filler, and yet Riley backpedaling majorly as a character kind of confirms this. And it's hard because the show even is being inconsistent with how they're talking about Riley. So they're majorly trying to shove Briley, Buffy, and Riley down our throats, only for them to compare Willow and Oz and then Buffy and Angel in this episode and hint that Buffy would be with Angel if she could be. Like, she tells Willow, like, you got your boyfriend back. And the idea is it's supposed to be like, hey, like, you can move forward with that relationship. Almost like Buffy's thinking about how her and Angel, like, she wishes she could be with him. And that's the whole point of this episode, is like her realizing, oh, Riley's the one that, like, I should be with. He's the right one for right now. And so I think that by the show not really knowing where they land on Riley and how to push him, what ends up happening is that Angel ends up being the default. And while I'm all like, yay, my little like Bangel heart is really happy about that, I'm also frustrated because I'm like, I feel like we're getting mixed messages where the show keeps trying to tell us that, no, this is a new healthy relationship for Buffy. This is a mature relationship for Buffy. But at the end of the day, we still see, it's almost like the writers are at war with the character of Buffy, like she's her own living thing, where the writers are like, no, Riley's good for you, and Buffy's over here like, nope, still want Angel. And it's just, I think a lot of that is because they aren't sure where they're going with Riley. All right, and then Tabby, you kind of mentioned this, and actually Leah, you too, but I want to talk about how excited I am to watch Tara's character grow throughout the seasons. I think this episode shows how kind she is, but also how much strength she has. And I will always, always be amazed at her willingness to break up with Willow because she realizes that they are not in a healthy place and that Willow is abusing magic. I don't know. I want to know your guys' thoughts. Do you guys think that if Oz was still with Willow in season six, that he would have been able, had the strength, whatever, that he would have broken up with Willow if she treated him the same way as she was treating Tara? Or do you think that he would have kind of just capitulated?
I personally don't think that Oz would have stayed with Willow as long as Tara does.
Ooh,
I think that Oz makes it pretty clear how he feels about being a werewolf, and he sees a very negative side of magic. And I mean, I think that Tara lets it go longer because Tara is into magic, and so she understands, like, really wanting to be part of that. And I think that Tara, part of it is the fact that she doesn't speak up for herself as much, but I mean, we see Oz be a very decisive person. Like, I think that if he felt like Willow was starting to, and I'm not trying to blame Tara at all.
No,
I don't think
Tara
handled anything poorly or anything like that. I just think that Oz would have given up a lot sooner in a way of just being like, I'm not going to deal with this. I could also see the other side where it's like people would have enabled Willow, or he would have enabled Willow. It's just hard because we don't really see him like have any contrary opinions to Willow, so we don't really ever see that conflict, which is a fault of their writing of Oz's character, is that he just agrees with people, and it's not that he's a yes man, it's just because he's like quote unquote perfect, like they just make him too good. In my own personal mind, I'd like to think that Oz would cut it off sooner just because he has pretty strong convictions about magic.
He has clear boundaries too. I that's the biggest part I see out of Oz's character, based on the wish where he is like, that's not my problem. If you want to apologize to me, like, I need space. And so I feel like I see that side of him that is very like, when he makes up his mind, you can't change his mind. But there's so many other times before that where you can have those moments of, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, I saw this TikTok and I was like, that is so freaking accurate. It's how like girls are when they decide they need to break up with somebody. It's like once they decide, they're like, there's no turning back. And I saw a TikTok that was like, I think Drew Barrymore reposted it, which is funny. Love my girl, Drew. and the girl in the TikTok was talking about how like girls in relationships will give so many chances by saying like, hey, this is important to me. I need you to like, you know, something small, stupid, not stupid, but just like something small that's important to them. It's really important to me that you come grocery shopping with me. Like, that's really important to me. And then the guy not taking it seriously. And then it's like, okay, the girl is not thinking about him not coming grocery shopping with her. She's thinking about, oh, he doesn't value what I say. He doesn't care about me. And so then she'll start noticing all these other small things because he's very negligent. And so she'll kind of start be like, hey, actually, the fact that you don't take out the trash right away bugs me. And they think it's like nitpicky. But like over time, this girl's thinking, he's not listening to me. He clearly doesn't value me. All these sort of things. So like when big things happen in the relationship, it's almost as if like it is like the girl sitting there being like, I don't even like you anymore. So when they decide to break up with like the boyfriend, it's like your character traits to me are ugly. And like, yeah. I'm done now. And so the guys are thinking, oh, shoot, now I like it's something big. Now I got to like try to win her back. And the girl's like, no, like I'm like when I break up to you, like I'm like, you know, done. But I feel like I see a lot of that in Oz. He's not a girl, but like I see a lot of those like patterns where like he'll drop little small things. Like I think Sarah, you were gonna mention that episode.
Fear
I
don't itself.
Know which episode it is. Yes, where he like mentions those things to Willow, and I feel like we've seen kind of small hints that he makes towards magic and things like that with Willow, and I really do feel like they would have really steered. What is with me?
Yeah, steered.
I want to say geared.
I know. Steered. I can hear it.
You he would have steered really into that in like later season 5 and season 6 if they were still together. And I really, I agree with Lee. I really do feel like he would have, he has good boundaries. And I really do feel like he picks his moments. And I feel like he's one of those people that like if Willow were to say something in a group of people that he didn't like, he would talk to her afterwards in private when no one's there. Whereas like that's not me as a person. I'd be like, I would kind of question it in the moment, but not in like a rude way. I'd be like, oh, like what do you mean by that? Like, and I feel like he's one of those people that just kind of like holds it in his head. And then when they're alone, it's like, what does that mean? Can you explain that to me? And that's how I kind of view Oz. So I do feel like he would have broken up with her.
Yeah, it's so funny because this is actually a huge point of conversation on like Reddit and stuff where people are like, do you guys think that Oz would have had the strength that Tara would have had? Because a lot of people are like, Tara was the right person to be with Willow at this point because they think that Oz wouldn't have had the strength to be able to stand up against Willow because we do see him often just kind of capitulate to whatever she wants. But I don't think that's exactly fair because Tara was fleshed out in a way that Oz never was. They actually gave Tara somewhat of an arc, whereas Oz, I just don't see this as an arc at all. But I think that what you're referring to, Tabs, like Fear itself, where Oz tells Willow, he says, I'm not going to lie about the fact that I worry. I know what it's like to have power you can't control. Every time I start to wolf out, I touch something deep dark. It's not fun. But whatever you decide, you know I'll back your play. So at that point, Oz is not concerned about it being necessarily an addiction. He's concerned more that she's going to accidentally get hurt, but he also recognizes that's her call. I think by the time that he sees that it's actually like starting to affect her on a deeper level, like she's hurting herself through doing magic, because it's kind of destroying her a little bit and she's going too far, I definitely think Oz would have stepped up and said something.
He didn't even see what she was trying to do to Veruca. He walked in after Veruca was hurting her, so that who knows what true. He would have done.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. But going back to Tara, I think it's cool even how the writers had little things like Tara's stutter eventually goes away completely. And she sticks up for Buffy in season 6. I think of the episode, the birthday episode. I think it's Older and Far Away or something like that is the title of the episode. And they get stuck inside of Buffy's house because they're cursed by Halfrek through Dawn. And you have that moment where Spike is coming on to Buffy and Buffy's trying to distance herself with Spike and Tara stands up for Buffy. And I just think that's a vastly different Tara than the one that we see right now in season 4, who's scared of her own shadow and is being chased by every monster that they bring on screen. And so I just, it's so cool. Her lack of self-worth and confidence in this episode, and then we come to find out that she's been abused by family members and lied to about being a demon simply because they're trying to, they know she's powerful. And then just to watch her confidence in the later seasons, she truly becomes one of my favorite characters. And that's not at all what I thought I'd ever say when I first started watching the show, because I thought Tara was supremely boring. But there's a quiet confidence that grows there that I've come to appreciate with each rewatch. And I will say she is the number one supporter of Buffy. So she is like my favorite person in my book. Like she's a great friend for Buffy.
I love that they give Tara and Buffy like friendship later on in the show. Like Tara has such a kindness and honesty about her that I think Buffy spots and, you know, is there for her when Buffy really needed it.
I think it says something that Buffy bonds with Tara in a way that she does not bond with any of the Scoobies' significant others, like at least at such a deep level. Her and Cordelia never really click at all. Her and Anya, her and Oz never really have a chance to kind of, you know, flesh out their whatever acquaintanceship, I guess you could call it. Who else am I missing? Can't really think of anybody else, but Tara and Buffy actually have so many conversations, and Tara's the one that goes and tells Buffy like, no, you did not come back wrong. It's just like a sunburn and stuff. So, oh man, that scene gets me every time. Anyway, the last thing I want to talk about is Oz leaving. So he comes back in the season 4 finale. He's featured in Willow's dream. It's interesting that both he and Tara are in her dream as her like two most important people. But guys, I just am so sad that he didn't come back for season 7 or even season 6 when Willow is at her lowest. Could you imagine if Oz like somehow feels her and knows that she's in pain and peril and is like the one that comes back and also helps her? Like I know we have that beautiful moment between her, Willow and Xander. But I also think about like we didn't necessarily need to even have them in a relationship, but just for Oz to be there as someone that cares deeply for her in like maybe he goes to England. I think it would have meant
so much more over freaking Kennedy. And I know they just wanted to make it look like she wasn't just like a phase, but I will just die on the hill that like Kennedy doesn't ruin, but she taints Willow's character a lot in my eyes. Because towards the end, Kennedy is just such a jerk. And she openly and outwardly is so aggressive towards Buffy. And Willow. And Willow. Nothing. She just sides with it and she lets her take it. I feel like Kennedy almost regresses Willow's character and brings her back to like who she was in like seasons 1 and 2.
That's a good point.
Where it was like she felt like she couldn't really speak up for what she wanted or anything like that, and she just kind of would do whatever the person that she was interested in wanted. And I feel like Oz and Tara were so good for Willow because they brought out that confidence in her, and then it's just like I feel like in a lot of ways Kennedy makes her go back.
Mm-hmm. Kennedy is one of those girls that I imagine is in a group of people and just waits for somebody to slightly talk crap about somebody and then takes it. And then she's just that person that takes over the conversation and just keeps going. Mm-hmm. It just keeps going with like the insults. And you're like, okay, my goodness, you've been harboring that in you for a while, girl. Are you good? Like, she's one of those people to me where I'm just like, oh, you really let the demons out for that. Okay, that was so unwarranted. We're talking about somebody being late all the time, not like them like crucifying people. My goodness.
I think the problem with season 7 Willow is by the time we get to season 6, we see a much more confident and self-assured Willow. And that's something she'd been wrestling with since season 1. And then season 7, she completely like just goes within herself because she's terrified of stepping too far out and doing something wrong. So she's very passive. Willow's incredibly passive in season 7, which is they could have shown how cautious Willow was while also showing a little bit more confidence, but they were saving it for the finale, to like the big reveal of her suddenly being okay with magic in a healthy way. But in order to offset that, they had Kennedy with such a strong personality. Guys, there is not another character on the Buffy in the Buffyverse that I hate as much as Kennedy. So, like, yes, I know there's Warren. We all hate Warren. He's a little too easy to hate, in my opinion. Kennedy is one of those people that just the way that she picks at Buffy, the way she's so entitled, like, I don't, there's something about her that just grates me. And maybe it's because I've known a few Kennedys in my life and I just like, I feel personally attacked. But also, I don't know. There's something about her that I don't know that Willow is, and we're getting into like major spoiler territory, but I guess this is a spoiler section, so whatever. It feels like to me that Willow is in a relationship with Kennedy simply because Kennedy wants it and Willow just doesn't have the energy to say no. And like Willow, Kennedy feels like a fling to Willow, not a full-fledged relationship. Like you don't see them lasting past a couple months from the finale. Like they're just gonna have a fun fling, go travel, and that'll be it. But, oh my gosh, Kennedy. I cannot wait to flambe that girl. Hate her.
She just gives me major pick-me energy. She is not a girl's girl, and I don't vibe with non-girls girls. Like, they just bug me. It's like this competition. And so that's what it was with her and Buffy. And, like, mm-hmm. that whole speech in the last episode with Buffy where she's like, we could all share the power. Oh, that's just like for women to watch a show like this. That's what we want to hear. It makes me emotional watching it because I'm like, so much of our lives is us being pinned against each other or like this just subtle competition. When, and like you said, Sarah, I've known so many girls that are like Kennedy or the girls that just kind of view any other female in a group setting, especially when guys are around, as competition. And mm-hmm. so they feel like they have to put you down in order for them to look better. And Kennedy is just – it reads to me like Kennedy is like – she doesn't like the competition of Buffy being powerful because she wants mm-hmm. to be powerful. Mm-hmm. She wants to be strong. She wants to be the leader. And it's like, girl, like I understand that you can be honest and outspoken, but there's difference. Oh, gosh, what am I thinking of? Is it in Buffy where they talk about the difference between – oh, no, it's in the new Knives Out. Remember what Blanc says? He says there's a difference between – he says it to Kate's character.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget her name, but Kate. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Kate Hudson's
he
character.
He says something along – yeah, he says something along the lines of like there's a difference between being honest and speaking without thought. Mm-hmm. And – that is so Kennedy. It's like she just says things to say things so that she can trip people up and make herself seem smarter and more powerful. And it just bugs me.
Yeah. I think by the time we get to season 7, and this isn't to say every Slayer has to be the same, but the defining character trait that a Slayer must have is self-sacrifice. And that's, you know, that's not something they necessarily start out with. As we see, case in point with Buffy and Faith, they don't start off as self-sacrificial people, but through them accepting their duty and their calling, they recognize that they are sacrificing so much for the sake of the world and it's worth it because that's their duty. That's their job. But it's also their calling. And I think with Kennedy, it's so hard to see someone so entitled with so much privilege and so much power, because that being a Slayer is, it's a sacrifice, but it also is a privilege in some ways. And I think that Kennedy, like, she zooms in on the privilege and power part, but not so much the self-sacrifice part. And so it's so frustrating to see her miss a huge aspect of what it is to be a Slayer, and then for her to beat down Buffy, who is doing her absolute best over here and is actually sacrificing herself. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation for when we get there. It's just a taste of how I'm going to be bashing Kennedy every single episode. But I think she just – there's just something about her that rubs me the wrong way. And it's so frustrating after Willow having Oz and then Tara as fantastic, probably the best love interests on the show with the exception of Angel. And then to go to Kennedy and you're like, what are you doing, writers? This is awful. All right. So last question for you guys. If Oz were to come back at any point in the show, like say that the writers decided they were going to bring him back for a big moment or whatever, where do you think it would have been best for him to come back?
Anywhere in season 7 or not season 7. I think it would have been really cool to have Oz come in when she was Dark Willow and have somehow incorporate him into the speech that Xander gives him or her, or have Oz be there in the episode with Kennedy rather than Kennedy, where she's like mourning Tara's loss, and him, it would have been so impactful for him to be like, dude, I get it. Like, I know what it feels like to mourn the loss of a love. Like, I understand, and I understand the draw of like losing yourself because of something magical. Like, I just feel like they would have related so much more. It would have hit so much deeper, and just anything to get Kennedy off my screen.
I just, you know that TikTok song where it's like, she looks beautiful and stunning and flawless or whatever, and he is there. That's how I view Kennedy in the episode. It's like, wow, what a beautifully heartbreaking, sweet, powerful performance in an episode. And then Kennedy's just standing there as Willow's just like wailing, crying over her past love, and she's just standing. You're like, okay, get out. Like, no one wants you here in this episode. It'd be way more impactful if it was just Willow having to ride through all of that, or if it was Buffy with her. Mm-hmm. Like, why is Kennedy just shoehorned in the episode? She's just standing there like a weirdo. I'm like, okay, you have no idea what's going on.
Who has no context for anything that's going on. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. She's just like, okay, I guess I'm just going to follow this girl that I have a crush on. You're like, look, the writers were like, look, Kennedy genuinely does care for her. Look at all this stuff. And then you're like, this is out of character for Kennedy, who we've only seen as a brat up until now. And then she goes right back to being a brat for the rest of the season. You're like, okay.
Yep.
I know. And then Kennedy being like telling Willow, well, I am a brat. And I was like, that's not a character trait, girlfriend. That's a character flaw.
She's trying so hard to reclaim it. I'm like, girlie, that's embarrassing. Don't reclaim that.
Yeah. That's not something to be proud of, sweetie. Okay. So if I was to pick a time for Oz to come back, I think that season 6 – actually, I think having Xander there was really, really powerful and impactful, and it helped redeem Xander a little bit in my eyes with all the crap that was going on with him in season 6. I think Oz should have come back in season 7. I think he should have been there for the final fight. I think that Willow should have broken up with Kennedy after she sucked Kennedy's magic out. That was – okay, that was the most satisfying – sorry, this is just turning into a Kennedy bash podcast episode, and I'm kind of okay with it, so sorry. But that moment in the shadow, the ones with the shadow men, the shadow puppets, when Kennedy's all been like, I'm powerful, I can handle it, and you're fine, like witchcraft is not that big of a deal, and blah, blah, blah. And Willow's like, no, I'm genuinely scared to like delve into magic again. And Kennedy's like, you're just overreacting, whatever. And then Willow grabs power out of Anya and Kennedy and freaks Kennedy out so much that Kennedy leaves Willow out, makes her sleep on the couch, and takes her / Buffy's room.
Oh. Guys, I'm not even joking. Like, I'm not looking forward to season 7 because it actually makes my blood boil. Like, there's so much that happens. And it's not just empty places. There's so many other things that make me just so angry.
There's things that make me angry, but there's also things that I really love that I'm dwelling on that I really want to talk about. But where was I going with all of that? I had a point. I just get so lost in my hatred of Kennedy. Oh, I think that Kennedy should have been like, wow, yeah, this is so intense. Okay, bye. We're no longer going to be together. And Willow's like, okay, I don't care. I didn't want to be with you anyway. And then Oz shows up. And again, I'm not saying that Willow has to be in a relationship with Oz, but it definitely would have added tension between her and Kennedy. I don't know. It just would have been so satisfying. And then in that moment when Willow is with the scythe at the very end, the person that's with her is not Kennedy, but it's Oz. I think that would have been really cool. So personally, I think the final fight would have been really awesome to have Oz there. And Angel. Freaking Angel. Have Angel stick around for that fight. None of that little, all right, I'll be on the side or on the second front. I'll take off. No. No, networks. What are you doing?
That's just because he needed to go film his own show. But if this were actual characters, he'd be like, no way in hell I'm leaving, letting you fight this on your own. I'm staying. And she'd and be Buffy like, would yeah, been you're like, staying.
Yeah, Buffy's like, oh, we're about to go fight the first evil. And I don't really have a plan yet. Not sure what I'm going to do, but you should go take the second front for sure. No, you gather everyone you know and you say, I need your help. All right. Well, that is all for New Moon Rising. A little bit shorter today, but starting next week, we're going to start getting into a little bit more of the meat of season four and starting to gear up for our season four finale, the spoiler section for Restless, which will be live. We will give you guys a date once we get closer to that. But yeah, I am actually so excited to talk about the spoilers for Restless when it comes around because oh boy, you all know, you've seen it. It's just a meaty episode and there's a lot of foreshadowing. There's a lot of callbacks and yeah, it's just going to be juicy and good. So as always, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for your support and we will talk to you next time.